This morning, I'd like to begin just simply by saying I appreciate very much Larry's words with regard to me speaking this morning. I certainly have some ideas and some thoughts that I'd like to express and express them in the most effective way that I can, and hopefully provoke some thought within those that are in the audience, and hopefully I can do that this morning. The thoughts that I have this morning are not new, and yet they're very important to me, and I hope that if you hear something that you've heard before, linger on that a little bit. Think about it. Give it some consideration, because that's certainly my intent for expressing them. I'd like to begin by going to the parable of the sower in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 3 through 8, where it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. If we go on down in the chapter, we can read in verses 18 through 23, and that gives us something of an explanation of what's intended in this parable, where it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know, I think often about loved ones, people that I've known that have named the name of Christ, is the way that we might put it, in that they've made the decision to commit themselves to living a life for the Lord. And yet, for whatever reason, they decide at some point to leave the church and to leave their obedient life to the Lord for a life in the world. And I think that this particular parable expresses some of the scenarios that go on in people's lives and why they occur. This morning I want to talk about contemplating some of the decisions that we have in our lives, the choices that we have, and spending some more time contemplating what really matters, spending some more time thinking about the consequences and the rewards of those things that we decide in our lives. You know, we focus so hard at expanding the boundaries of the kingdom at times that we completely forget about fortifying them. And this is what kind of motivates me for what I have to say this morning. The reason that people leave the church, I don't know in particular, unless we look at specific scenarios, but I know that I have loved ones, even those in my family, that have left the church. And I wonder what caused them to do that sometimes. I do believe that it was the intent of this parable to give some insight into that. Luke, the 9th chapter and verse 62 says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world
through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. John, in his letter to the Ephesian brethren, after having complimented them and their labors for the Lord, he said to them in Revelation 2 and verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. In our lives, we're faced with many decisions, many choices. As a dad, I consider what my children are faced with day in and day out. You know, as I would hope anybody in the audience is, we all desire a home in heaven. And we desire to take our families and anyone else that we can with us. In our lives, we're faced with certain decisions, and sometimes those choices that we have and decisions that we make are very simple, and they don't take a lot of thought or time in evaluating and that type of thing. And others, they become more serious, and they certainly deserve more contemplation. Sometimes we even go to the extent of enumerating pluses and minuses, positives and negatives, if you will, in making decisions in a matter. I've done that. It's not something I frequently do, but sometimes when I felt like I was stuck, that's the kind of thing that I did, along with a lot of prayer. Sometimes we have those types of seriousness with the decisions that we have to make. And still, at times, the answer doesn't just jump out at us, if you would. Some of the more serious decisions that we might have in this life might have to do with choosing a mate that's going to help you in living the Christian life, choosing a career that's not going to hinder you in living the Christian life, making the best choices with regard to maybe your own physical health or the physical health of one of your loved ones. And these are very important decisions that we have to make. But even these seemingly serious decisions that we have are dwarfed in magnitude to those that affect our spiritual well-being, our eternity, like the choice of whether or not to become a child of God and to dedicate our lives in service to Him. You know, this is a decision that I think is one that no one will ever regret, and yet I'm not sure that when people make this decision that they always consider. They consider the rewards, but they don't necessarily consider the costs along the way. And I think it's important to do. I know that the majority of those in attendance this morning are members of the Lord's Church. And I also know that so far I probably haven't presented anything that you don't know or haven't heard before, but it's provided me with a lead into what I'd like to talk to you for a little bit about. I'd like to talk about those things, those decisions that you have to make on a frequent basis, those decisions that maybe you make on a daily basis, or maybe you make them several times a day. You know, I used to have a job where the owner of the company would call me and he would challenge me. I should say he would challenge me frequently. I figured I could make a decision, that I could present him with that decision. This is who I am. This is how I live. And I won't violate these rules in my life. And that was it. I let him know what it was and I was done until the next time he challenged me with it, which may have been the same day or even several times in the same day. Those choices that we are faced with and that we have to live with, it's the same question, it's the same choices maybe that we have to answer every day. It's something that we have to decide on a frequent basis, and it's not done when you make your decision because you might be challenged with that
several more times, even the same day. Our decision to serve the Lord is a daily one. Joshua, the 24th chapter, many of you may be very familiar with this, in the 14th and 15th verses says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And not just today, and not just tomorrow, but every day. Psalms, the 61st chapter and verse 8 says, "So will I sing unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 34 says, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Luke, the 9th chapter, and verse 23 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So, make a decision. Stay with your choice. Where will you spend eternity? Where do you want to spend eternity? Make a decision and stay with your choice. And as you know, there are only two choices. All of my life, I have heard the phrase, "Home is where the heart is." And I'm sure many of you have as well. And I think that in most cases, when someone says, "Home is where the heart is," they're talking about a physical place. And it may not all have to do that. I certainly understand that as much as I at times have to be away from home. There have been a lot of times that I have been, but my thoughts, my mind, if you will, my heart, was wherever my family happened to be. Home was where those people or those things that I treasured the most were at. And even though this saying can be applied physically, and most of the time maybe is, it's just as, if not more, applicable when we think about spiritual things. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And these things are the necessities of life, such as food and clothing and shelter." In years past, we've sometimes sang a song that went like this: "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My treasures aren't here." I hope that we all can say that. I hope that we all can say, "This is not my home. I'm just passing through. My heart is with my treasures, and home is where my heart is." And I hope that's a loftier place than this earthly existence. Now, these sayings would be for those who have made the choice to call heaven their eternal home. You and I, as members of the Lord's church, should have a loftier desire than for the things of this world. Loftier than the riches and the sinful pleasures of this world. "Oh, I long for a place without temptations, evil temptations. Oh, I long for a place where I don't have to worry about the lures of the devil in this world. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 16 through 21, says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I'd venture to say that any serious-minded person, if asked, would say that they wanted to go to heaven. But when we give our answer, I wonder if we've really counted the cost. Do you really know what it means to become a child of God? And I say this not necessarily because there are those here that don't understand those things, but you may be speaking to someone that doesn't. You know, if the roof on the house gets damaged, the first thing that I think of is, what's it going to cost? There are all kinds of things in this life. Matter of fact, I say this, and it's kind of funny, but I don't mean it facetiously. My wife may come home and tell me that she has bought something for me. Maybe it's for a birthday, just because she cares for me. Just maybe it's because it's something I need. But before I even look at it or even consider what it is, how much did it cost? How much did it cost? You know, that's important to me, and maybe more important than what it should be. But when we make these kinds of decisions in our lives, I wonder if we ask, what's it going to cost? Have we considered it? It seems like the most serious and important choices of all, maybe we haven't the way that we should. Before I choose to commit sin, do some of these things, I consider, do some of these things that's not right, do I count the cost associated with that decision? Do we take the time to do it? I wonder sometimes if we just don't need to slow down in our lives so that we can make these considerations. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. And when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Going on in verses 45 and 46, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Oh, no doubt, heaven will surely be worth it all. However, if you would be a child of God, you must be willing to give everything. You must be willing to give yourself. "The man that found the treasure in the field went and sold everything that he had to buy the field. The merchant man in the parable went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy that one pearl of great price." The field of treasure, the pearl of great price, that's heaven. And we have to be willing to give all if we would desire to have an eternal home. To live eternally in heaven. We belong to God already, you know that. We don't think about that. We think of our lives as being our own and as if we are in control and that type of thing. And some things we are because God allows us to do that. But we already belong to Him. He's the Creator. And all that we have, all that we are, all that we ever will be is because of Him. We are His to do with as He wills. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 26 through 33, says, "If any man will come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Something, a verse that I've been considering quite a bit lately, and there are some other thoughts that I've wanted to express and will at some point, are in relation to Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. The first verse says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." On the other hand, if we treasure things of this world more than heavenly treasures, we'll be no different than the young ruler that we can read of over in Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 22. Consider this. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I wish we could do more things that would cause people to ask that question. "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me." We have to be willing to give all. The Bible says, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." God bought us at a great cost so that we might have the choice of where we spend eternity. The apostles, they made a choice over in John, the 6th chapter, verses 67 through 69. After many of the disciples that went back and they didn't follow Jesus anymore, and Jesus asked the 12, he said, "Will ye also go away?" And then Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." The apostle Simon Peter said, "We know who you are. You're the Son of God. You have the power to save us from this old sinful world and to grant us eternal life. Nobody else can promise that. Why would we go to anyone else?" Maybe their thoughts were, "We're lost without you," which would have been correct. Another song that we sometimes sing, the words say, "Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Needing a friend to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord?" The lives that we live reflect our choices and our decisions. Do we rededicate our lives and give our all in service to God, because we want to spend an eternity with Him. Do we remind ourselves every day of the things that really matter and to whom it is that we belong? All of our choices that we make with regard to this life won't matter one little bit if we don't get the one with regard to our spiritual relationship and our spiritual well-being right. And we have to make it sometimes multiple times a day. Something that I feel absolutely sure about is that if we don't make this conscious decision, it'll be made for us. The devil is more than happy to do that for us. We talked about the cost and what the reward. What about the reward? Jesus spoke to Martha prior to raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. John, the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 27, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6 tells us that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. John describes the place that we desire for an eternal abode in Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If you've ever lost a loved one, if you've ever endured the pain of someone you cared about that was struggling with some burden in their life, these words should be so meaningful, and we should all long for a time and a place where these things exist. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 26 and 27 says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. In the words of Hebrews 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Brethren, let's make it a point to make the choices and decisions every time we need to that reflect a mind that follows Christ. Let's remind ourselves of who we are, what's most important. What are we willing to trade today and tomorrow and every day so that we can live in heaven for eternity? James 1 and verse 12 says, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we don't make the conscious decision every day in our lives, those decisions may vary in terms of what we do or what we're challenged with, but ultimately it comes down to our decision to follow the Lord. The default will be our choice if we don't. And that choice, well, the only way I really know to put it is that it's really going to cost you. It'll cost you your soul. It'll cost eternal salvation and a home in heaven. And the reward, well, it's really going to cost us. You know, I would feel as if I didn't do a proper job with this if I didn't offer some ideas with regard to helps in our lives. And one of those things is a daily study of the Scriptures. Practical daily helps to draw us and to keep us close to God. And that there are many, many Scriptures that if they don't use these words, they at least imply the same idea, and they ask the question of, have you not read or do you not know? And it's talking about the Scriptures. And I have a list of those, certainly not a comprehensive list, but if you want those, I'm happy to share those with you afterwards. But brethren, we have to read our Bibles. We have to know the contents of God's will in order to be able to rightly divide those things. If we don't even know what's there, we can't place them in context and understand their meaning for us. What's the point if we don't even know what's there? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The example comes to mind, and I've used this a number of times before, is that the old violin never had so much value or sounded so beautiful as when it was in the hands of one who has studied to know how to play it. It was in the master's hands. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 12, tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. However, brethren, we have to study to know it before we can effectively use it. Another practical help is just simply our prayer life. And I think most of us would agree that no matter what our prayer life is, it probably could be a little better. I could have said that pretty much my whole life long. And I consider myself to be something of a prayerful person. Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What a blessing. And it's ours to exercise. I would think God wants us to talk to Him. He blessed us with that. What would you think about someone that never spoke to you? That never communicated with you in any way? What a relief it is to know that you have such a relationship with God that when you say a prayer, you can be confident that it's heard. What a relief it is that you have lived the kind of life that I can be confident in your prayers. I may sometime need to come to you and ask you for your prayers. You may at some point in time have to come to me and ask me for my prayers. I want to be confident in the person that I ask that your prayers are heard. I want to live my life in that way, and I want to have a healthy prayer life. A prayerful person is someone that has a desire for a closer relationship with God. Let me talk about meditation for a moment. We need to take time every day to just review the day or to meditate on our lives, upon the lives of others around us, upon God's word, and how we can live closer to God. There are a lot of things that clutter our minds. And I think that it's a choice. We think about certain things because we choose to think about them. And sometimes there are things that enter our minds that aren't maybe the best things in the world. And the best thing that we can do is shove them out by thinking about the right things, by thinking about things like what the Scriptures tell us about. We need to take time every day. My family in the past has had some a practice of occasionally asking each other, have you done your 10? And what we mean by that is we take the time every day to do some of these things where you think about your day and you think about the others that have been around, you've been around, and maybe their lives. You contemplate God's word and how it applies to your life and how you can use that and share that. Maybe you spend it in prayer, but have you done your 10? And you know what? If you get good at that, good for you. You need to try 15. And so forth and so on. We need to spend more time meditating. Webster defines the word meditate like this: to reflect on or muse over, contemplate, to engage in contemplation or reflection. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we read verse 1 earlier, but it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What do you mean, renewing of your mind? Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how we go about renewing our minds. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verses 12 through 15, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and verse 7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 through 13 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, so long as I'm in this earthly body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know, I intended to make another point, and I'm going to real quickly do this. But back when I read in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 8, I'm going to back up a little bit when it was talking about whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and so forth. If you read the next verse, it's kind of interesting because it tells us that those things that they had both learned and received and heard and seen in him, do. That's kind of like a commandment or something, isn't it? And the God of peace shall be with you. Sorry about maybe getting that out of order a little bit, but I thought it was an important thing to mention. This morning, we're going to be asked to remember the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to think or meditate on him and the sacrifice that he made for us. And lastly, I want to talk just real quickly about our environment. You know, we have choices with regard to the environment that we live in, that we abide in, that we spend time in. If we surround ourselves with people that are spiritually minded, we're more likely to be like them, spiritually minded. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says that evil communications or associations corrupt good manners or good morals. These things have to be a part of our daily lives, not as a matter of routine, but as a matter of our daily choices, that we might be one step closer to God and step one step further away from the devil. How's your life this morning? it's important to me, and I'm sure the others that sat around you this morning, how is your life this morning? Have you obeyed the scriptures and become obedient, taken the steps of obedience that would put you into Christ? What are you doing to fortify yourself and your relationship with God? Are you growing in that relationship? Are you doing the things that will protect you from the darts of the devil? It's important to me. I want to do those things not only that will help in growing and saving souls that have maybe never heard some of the things that they might hear if you had the opportunity to share those with them, but I also want to do those things and say those things that will cause people to be fortified in their relationship with God. Have you made the choice to serve God, to make Him your Lord and Master? If not, maybe you should sit down and give some thought to why you haven't. It's important. It's a choice you'll never forget and you'll never regret.